morning. What an incredible day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. All right. I'm glad to hear we're excited and pumped to worship the Lord this morning. We do want to make special note. There is pulled pork sandwiches and platters available through the missions team. And we want to highlight those names. It's Patty Timmons. If you're here, put your hand in the air so that people can recognize who you are. Patty Timmons, Jeremy Plachik, Ray Keeney, Connie Manbeck, and Anita Hoffa. So if you would like to help support that cause for the Nigerian outreach, be sure to purchase pulled pork dinner tickets from those individuals. And I believe the cost is in the bulletin, and I'm not seeing it right offhand, but be sure to check that out. $5 donation is what they're asking for the pulled pork dinner. So a great cause to support with that. We do want to highlight today, if everyone could possibly show up at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock, say that with me. 1 o'clock, Siler's Pond. We are having a baptism, and there are 6 individuals who are becoming members of the Little Swatara congregation, and we're so excited to have them take that important step in their life, and we look forward to that time at 1 o'clock at Siler's Pond, and we're praying in Jesus' name the rain holds off, and we'll be able to have just a blessed time of fellowship as we celebrate baptism in the life of those individuals. We also just want to highlight the flowers this morning are on the altar or presented in memory of Janelle Keeney. So we just want to remember her and her legacy that she's left behind. And that's Charlene Keeney's daughter. So we keep them in prayer, as that remembrance can sometimes bring sorrow. And it also brings joy at the same time, the life that we were able to live together with her. So this morning, we just want to thank you for being here. We want to say welcome. And if this is your first time, we're especially glad that you're here with us this morning. And we pray as we worship this morning, indeed, you would feel the presence of the Lord among you. So we invite you to stand, to greet one another, and then we'll begin with worship. And greet each other, and let's start worship this morning.
Singing hymn number 110.
Love.
You to be seated this morning as we enter into our time of joys and concerns. We see my beautiful wife here this morning, which means she came through her MRI well, and now we just await test results. And we're so thankful to hear Carl Grady is back home recovering after his surgery. And we want to keep Lloyd in prayer this week as he heads into his surgery on Wednesday, I believe, right? Yes? No? Wednesday, okay. So we'll keep Lloyd in prayer, and God will be with him during that time. And Ryan Kisling's father passed away, so we'd encourage you, if you're willing to send cards to Ryan, it's at 33 Rarersburg Road, and that would be greatly appreciated by the family to uplift him during this time of loss, and also Ray Durr. And others in the bulletin that you can continue to lift in prayer, the Nigerian brothers and sisters, and Dustin, and Curtis, and Catherine, and Kim, and continue to lift up Carl and Lloyd as well. So are there others this morning that you'd like to highlight? I know yesterday was such a joy at the tractor and car and truck and motorcycle show. It was such a wonderful time to see so many people enjoying fellowship together. So thanks everyone who made that possible. Paul's here this morning. Great job, Paul, and all the other volunteers, the preschool team. You guys did amazing. It was such a wonderful day. And of course, all the cars and tractors and things that came out, it was just wonderful. Any other joys or concerns this morning? We have a mic that we'll get to you if you have anything you'd like to share this morning. Of course, we know silence doesn't always mean that we don't have prayer concerns. It's simply the prayer is on our heart, and we'll have a time of silent prayer during our morning prayer that you can lift those up as well. We have one in the back right corner. Any others this morning?
I would just like to say thank you very much to everybody that helped make the show wonderful yesterday. Beautiful day, and I really appreciate the help that they gave me to get it going.
Amen. Amen. Truly a blessed time. All right. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to gather as fellow believers, to gather in your name, to be able to worship you, to proclaim your greatness. Father, we know that you are very near to us. We know that you are a God that hears our concerns as we pray to you. So, Father, this morning, we just want to lift up by name each individual that's on our hearts, each individual that is listed in our bulletin this morning. And we think of our Nigerian brothers and sisters. We think of Dustin Brubaker, Curtis Warner, Catherine Wenger, Denise Christ, Kim Harrop, Ryan Kisling, Carl Graby, Lloyd Moyer, and the young lady facing heart surgery. Lord, you know specifically what's going on in their lives. You know the healing touch that they need. So, Father, we're praying that you would allow your will to be done in their lives. We pray for peace as surgeries are being faced, that you would bring comfort and allow the surgeon's hands to be steadied. We pray for healing as individuals recover from surgeries. And as those have lost loved ones, we pray that you would allow your comfort to fall upon each of them, that your love would surround them and allow them to know that you are with them, Lord. And Father, just be with each of us here this morning. You know what's on our hearts. You know those concerns. You know those joys that we have. And during these next few moments of silent prayer, we just want to lift them to you. And also during this time, we want to confess those things that we've done wrong, Lord, and ask your forgiveness. So, Lord, hear our prayers. Father, we pray that you would continue to allow your presence to dwell in this place. Father, we pray your Spirit would continually speak to our hearts and allow us to be in tune with what your will is for our lives. Father, we pray that those of us that are just seeking a way to grow in our relationship with you, that we would just surrender those things that hold us back, those sins that easily entangle us. And Lord, we just lay them at the cross this morning and ask you to take them and to remove them as far as the east is from the west, for us never to return to them. Father, we pray that you would continually minister to our needs, continually allow us to seek you in guiding us and directing us in our future plans and our day ahead. And Father, thank you for family and friends, and thank you for those being baptized this afternoon, the step that they've taken in their faith, Lord, and we look forward to that time to celebrate with them, for we know, Lord, the Spirit will be upon them, and they'll be given such a joy and such a peace as they move forward in their relationship and become a part of the body of Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for this time to celebrate and worship who you are and what you mean to us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And how incredibly Amen. Great is our God, a God that is here in this place, a God that cares for everything that we care about. And so he is with us, he is among us, he is a great God indeed. And he comes to us in this time of offertory, and he asks us to give out of a cheerful heart. He asks us to allow the hands that so tightly grip the possessions of this world to loosen so that he might use us. Let's pray to this great God as we prepare our morning offering. Father, you are incredibly great. You are so great that you have given us this opportunity to give, to be able to shine your light into this world through our offering. So, Father, this morning, help us to be cheerful in our giving. Help us to reflect our love through the offering that we give. But, Lord, more importantly, help us to tell that story, that impact that you have had on our lives, that others may come to know you, because we realize how great you have been in our life and the difference that you have made. So, Father, we give to you this offering this morning, and we ask that you would be the center of all things we do. And it's in Jesus' name, amen. That Jesus is the center. I couldn't imagine living a life any other way than Jesus at the very center. So may it be so with each of us this morning. We invite the children to come forward as Abigail leads us in our children's moment this morning.
Have any of you gotten oil on your hands before?
No.
No? Does the oil rinse off right away if you just use water? No, it doesn't. You need, what else do you need to get the oil off your hands?
Soap.
Soap, yep. In Psalms 51, it talks about getting clean. King David wrote this Psalms after he had done something very wrong. He asked God to forgive him and make him clean again. King David wrote, "Wash me thoroughly and cleanse me from my sin. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." King David didn't really need soap to clean himself, though. He needed forgiveness from God. Forgiveness is a little bit like soap. When we sin, we try to cover the sin up, to ignore the dirt, or to we may or to hide it from others. We may tell ourselves, well, it isn't that bad what I did. Others have done it too. That's like trying to wash the dirty oil off our hands with water. It doesn't work. Just as we need soap to get oil off our hands, we need Jesus's forgiveness to come clean from our sins. God wants us to admit that we've done something wrong. This is called confession. And when we confess to God that we've done something wrong, God forgives us and makes us clean inside. I brought oil with us this morning, and we're going to do an experiment. Pastor Matt's going to rub oil all over his hands, and then he's going to use water to try and clean it off.
All over.
All over.
All over. And I'm supposed to use water to try to get it off. Okay. It's not working. Any other suggestions?
Did the oil come off?
No.
It's still there. And sometimes other people may not know about our sins or see our sins, but God knows it's there.
It's still there? You feel it?
God knows us completely. He knows we need forgiveness. The sin sticks to us sort of like the oil sticking to Pastor Matt's hands. Now let's try soap.
Jungle passion fruit. Sure. Smells good. Let's see if it cleans well. It seems to have worked.
Are his hands fully clean now?
Yeah.
Yes, they are now. But he needed soap to get it clean, right? We need God's forgiveness to make us truly clean inside. The next time you need to get clean, get really clean, clean inside, remember that only God's forgiveness can wash away our sin. And remember that God is happy to forgive us because he loves us. All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, we're sorry for the times that when we do something wrong. Thank you for forgiving us and making us clean. I brought bubbles with for you guys, because bubbles, soap, do you get it?
Yeah. Where are those? Bubbles.
They're bubbles.
What color do I want?
Yep, they're yours.
This time.
I pick yellow.
I pick yellow.
Bubble?
I want blue.
I'm sorry.
I'll pick up blue for you, Daniel.
You children, thank you, Abigail, for teaching us what it means to be able to be clean, to be forgiven through Jesus Christ. May we continually be a people of confession and requesting forgiveness. Great job. So how do we know? How can we know? Why would we want to know? Does it even matter if we know? How can we tell if we know? When do we know? Where is it what we know? What is it we even need to know? These are all questions relating to life after death. Is there really a heaven? Is there really a hell? Can the way we live here and now truly impact where we go the moment we die? But if we can't see God, how can we know he exists? Who made God anyway? This morning in our scripture passage from the first epistle of John, beginning in chapter 1, and we'll travel through to chapter 2, verses 6, we'll be able to listen closely and hear some of the answers to these questions that were posed. But first, this morning, I'd like to give us a bit of a background on 1 John. Early traditions assign this book to the disciple John and suggest that he wrote them from Ephesus near the end of the first century, where he was serving as a pastor. During this time, there was serious persecution of the church. Despite the suffering, John doesn't deal with the external dangers. He seems confident that if God's people hold fast to Christ and live a life of love, their Christian experience will be vital and healthy. It's the inner life that matters most. With technology, the latest iPhone coming out, it's easy to become programmed by the eye of compromise. You see, the issue in John's time was that the children and grandchildren of the first Christians didn't want to be set apart. It's the Greek word hagios, which means different, which means set apart for the use of God. Now, the pots and pans used in the temple for the purpose of God were even set apart. The temple itself was set apart, and so was the Sabbath. These believers in John's times were actually called the saints. It's the breakdown of the inside that endangered change to the Christian beliefs. It is that time when Gnosticism was the real enemy, and my friends, it still is today. You see, there's an ongoing attempt in the Christian circles to improve it, to give it intellectual respectability, and let it speak in terms of the popular philosophies. Here's a sampling for our taste this morning. Gnosticism took on so many forms, but the belief was that matter or material was essentially evil. Only the spirit was good. Therefore, the body was despised. So because the spirit is in our body, it was like a seed in dirty soil. It's the modern idea of a spark of good in every person. The Gnostics would do all they could to cause the seed to grow and try as they may to get rid of the evil. But stay tuned to Jesus, and this is what we hear. 1 John 4:4, one of the most powerful voices in the world today, it reads, "He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world." Let me read that one more time. "He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world." He in us being Christ, and the enemy Satan being he in the world. Notice that phrase, "in us." That's also to say our body, that spirit within us. John, will notice, speaks brief statements. He makes them in simple words. They feature contrasts like light and darkness, truth and error, God and Satan, life and death, love and hate. The verses we're about to hear are an invitation for us this morning to joy, to be able to walk in the light. Yet they also present us with a challenge this morning to be honest with ourselves and to realize the potential for a deeper relationship with God. There's a few more questions to consider this morning that will be answered over the next several weeks. What can I do if I sin as a Christian? What does it mean to walk in the light? What does it mean to be worldly? How do I know if I'm acting worldly? And lastly, the most important question we can ask ourselves this morning, how do I know if I'm a child of God right now? Our verse for today reads this, and it answers many of these questions, but the weeks to follow, we'll dig deeper and learn more. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you: God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if anybody obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for piercing our souls, for awakening our hearts to the only way of living in your Son. We know, we understand by what others and even ourselves have heard, seen, and touched that this life we live in Christ is truly real. We know that eternal life is through your Son, who set an example of how we should live. And he suffered on the cross for our sake to take upon himself the penalty of our sins. Father, we know that death did not hold him. And on that third day, he rose again victoriously and set the knowledge of eternity through forgiveness offered by him and to us who trust in him and surrender our lives to his plans. Father, we pray that you would take us from where we are in our walk with you to an entirely new level of maturity. And it's this that we pray in the most precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now this morning, I'm going to need you to hold on to your pews because we're about to set our lives on fire for the Lord. So what beginning is John actually talking about? Beginnings are a funny thing to the human mind. We know that when we set the microwave to 2.5 minutes to pop some butterly delicious popcorn, there's a beginning and an end. We know when labor begins, or at least we're really, really hoping, sometime soon there's an end and a baby is born. We're familiar with beginnings. Life begins, life ends. There's a natural process to life and death. And so it is in nature, as the seasons have demonstrated. The leaves die on the trees and the plants and the grass wither. But as us allergy sufferers really know, they are in full bloom come spring. But in the spiritual context, it gets a bit confusing. We find a total of 3 beginnings. There's Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's what's known as an undated beginning. Undated meaning we don't know when God created the heaven and the earth. We simply know that there was a beginning. Book after book after book tries to explain that question and provide answers. Personally, after reading many of them, I'm convinced there are many theologians without the foggiest notion when Genesis 1:1 really did happen. We simply discover a tremendous amount of educated guesses based on the biblical timeline. The second beginning is found in John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He adds, the same was in the beginning with God. Then he comes to the act of creation. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Did anybody just follow that? John writes, in the beginning was the Word. It doesn't say is the Word. John says our hands have touched him. It was he who reclined at the table in the upper room and rested his head upon his chest. We can imagine that when Jesus held out his hands after his resurrection, the disciples, especially Thomas, felt his hands and the nail prints, which convinced them he was indeed man and the God manifest in the flesh. Think of the things we hear, touch, and see on a daily basis. We know and believe in their existence because we've experienced them. I'd never imagine how scrumptious a chocolate peanut butter banana milkshake is until I've actually tasted it. I'd laugh if you told me an alpaca makes a crying sound when it's sheared, but I've heard it. I'd chuckle if you said the quills of a hedgehog were soft, but I've felt them myself. I'd second guess you that the wingspan of a bald eagle is 6 foot wide. But until you see it soaring across the mountainside, it seems ridiculous. So why would we want to know, as verse 2 states, that the life appeared? We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Does it even matter if we know that? You bet it does. That life was brought into the open where men and women could see it. John is talking about the Word of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see in that following verse. Students would often ask me, well, what then is eternal life? The eternal life John is talking about here is none other than Jesus Christ. Eternal life, we can say, is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. It's so simple, we can't even begin to grasp it. We either have Christ or we don't have Christ. We either trust Christ or we don't trust Christ. Eternal life, my friends, is trusting Christ. The burning question this morning within our souls is, do we have Christ? Do we trust Christ? John is about to say something in the next verse that's beyond wonderful. It's beyond exciting. It's so incredible. It makes us want to shout for joy, to share it to the ends of the earth. John is going to tell us that we can have fellowship with God. That word fellowship literally means sharing. It's what this New Testament letter is all about, a life of intimate sharing of ourselves with God and with each other. For those wanting to go deeper and more personal in their relationship with God, this is where it's at. We are invited to journey into joy. It reads, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And verse 4 goes on to say, we write this to make our joy complete. Now let me ask us a question this morning. Does anyone want their joy to be complete? Or are we content with our joy half filled? Or for some, half empty? This fellowship is so wonderful that I struggle to put it into exact words. Here's why. Because God is holy. Man is unholy. How can we even be in fellowship with a holy God? John gets straight to the point, and we'll stop here this morning and pick up next week in verse 5. He says there's three ways presented to us that we can have fellowship. Or, you know, let's use the word relationship with God. Two are man-made and one is God's way. Two will never, ever work and one will. Does anyone want to take a guess this morning which way is going to work? God's way. Every time, God's way will work. You see, fellowship with God requires knowing the Lord Jesus. It's not just knowing about Him, but really knowing Him personally as our Lord and Savior. Those that are being baptized this afternoon have staked the claim that they know Jesus as their Savior, and they desire to be baptized into the fellowship of believers. Now, fellowship for the believer means that we meet together and we share the things of Christ. We talk about Jesus. We talk about His Word. That's the kind of fellowship John is referencing. A way to know. A way to know if we really know is whether Jesus has had a continuing impact on our lives. No matter the age, John by now is over 80 years old as he writes this. Yet even now, John continues to have fellowship with God, the Father, and His Son, Jesus. It's the ongoing fellowship we want. It's the ongoing fellowship that gives us hope of making our joy complete. There's much, much more to follow in the weeks ahead. But may we not only find this complete joy, but may we invite others to this joy as well. Amen. Let's rise for our closing worship. invite you to prayer, but before we go into that invitation to prayer, I'd ask you to say with me, I need you, Lord. Would you say that with me this morning? I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Father, I pray that those words ring true in each of our hearts. Father, I pray we wouldn't leave this place without recognizing how desperately we need you. For Father, there are times in our lives we try to walk this path alone. And Lord, time and time we'll fail. And we'll try on our own to pick up those broken pieces. But Lord, we know it is only through you, through our need of you, that those pieces can be put back together in our lives. Father, you know each of our hearts. You know the situations in our lives. You know the joy that we desperately want to make complete. And we know that it is only through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we can do so. So, Father, may our prayer be this week to say wholeheartedly, I need you, Lord. Take us now in peace. Take us to a whole new level of fellowship with you. And it's in Jesus, the name above all names, the name that changes everything, that we pray. Amen.